Give me the Placid Dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat! But I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him!
You got it!
I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Chuck.
Yo.
You know, I have to always remember to take it off mute, right? So, that's crazy, right? Okay, a little dead air there. Did you hear the Tarpon and Bonefish Trust spot?
I caught the end of it.
You caught the end of it? Okay. All right, cool. All right, so on our lineup tonight on Buzzards Row, we've got the regulars. Bill Howard. Hey, Wood, how are you doing, man?
Good.
Did you finish that Led Zeppelin song, man?
Yeah, I did. A little technical difficulty there?
Yeah, just a little technical, man. I sometimes forget the mute button thing, so anyways. All right. Mark Wheeler, our host for Wednesday night's show. How you doing, man? The landing crew?
Doing good, man.
All right. And Mr. Greg Becker is joining us from just a little further south there in Apollo Beach area. How you doing, Greg?
Doing very well, thanks. Pleasure to be here.
Oh, man, glad to have you. And now to announce our special guest this evening, and I'll say hey to the folks in the chat room here in just a second. I'd like to introduce Colin Malone, who's with us tonight from Malone Auto Racks. And you're up in Maine, right, Colin? Welcome aboard.
That's right outside Portland, Maine. Happy
Portland.
To be here.
Okay. Can't send you up any of the warm weather that we're getting down here in Atlanta and Florida, but I know it's not terribly it's not a real terrible winter that you guys are having, right?
Nah, more rain than snow this year. Pretty mild on us Mainers.
All right. Mm-hmm. And I got to visit Maine one time. I had a buddy. I was in the Marine Corps, and I had a buddy up there at the sub base. He was one of those security guards up there. Really beautiful country. Moosehead Lake and all that good stuff. Is it Mount Katahdin there?
That's right, Mount Katahdin. And actually, the main slogan is the way life should be. So there
that's
you go.
Right. There you go. That's awesome, man. And
yeah.
I'd like to revisit and do some kayaking up in that area. So, all right.
One of a kind.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let me say hi to the folks in the chat room. There's quite a few of them in there, and Colin can see you. He's one of the guests that you see in there, but he can't type in. So if you have a question for him as we get to talking about the products and the options for transporting your kayaks, go ahead and type in your question. But I'll say hi to David Minnick. He's one of our Georgia kayak fishing guys and known as Soccer Dad. He's in there. Hammerhead 74, he's up in your neck of the woods there, Colin, up out of New Hampshire. Mark Lozier, half of the Double L team, our crew on Tuesday nights. We also have with us in the chat room Captain Mike Ortego. He's a captain, a charter captain there out of South Florida. Redfish Chuck, he's with us here on the phone. Salt Warrior is a guy that we all like because he brings the good sausage to our boondoggles, and he's out of Venice, Louisiana. You see Scuba Stan there. He's up in Charleston or Chucktown, and another jarhead, so is Lozier. VB Java Chick, that's the other half of the Lozier Double L crew on Tuesday nights. And then Mitchell Dorsey is one of our buddies, Scott, out of the Jacksonville, Florida area. So we got quite a diversity of locations in the chat room there. Plus, at the end of the show, it automatically gets podcast to iTunes. So we'll usually have 100 or so folks download the show before the end of the week. So, but Colin, we've got you on here because in about 2 weeks now, a lot of us are headed out to Chuckalosky, Florida, on what we call our boondoggle. So, and for some of the folks, it's probably going to be their first time transporting a kayak that far. Now, I've got a 2009 model of your sport trailer. You saw there, I think, in the chat room is Salt Warrior there. See, he's a Happy Malone trailer owner also. He's got one of the newer versions. But I put I got an easy 10-15,000 miles on my trailer, and I think it's a pretty easy way to go. Now, there's been a couple of threads. We also have a sister site called YakAngler.com. There's been a thread going on there the last couple of days. It talks about the question was a rack or a trailer. So we'll get into that. But tell us a little bit about the company, Colin, because you're Colin Malone. You work for Malone Auto Rack. So do they just hire people only with the last name Malone, or is it some family
thing? You know, I get that question from time to time, and I always have to answer it pretty seriously. I got to give everyone the benefit of a doubt there. But no, I am the son of Larry Malone, who founded this business. Well, he actually started off making paddles in the mid-90s and slowly crept into the kayak transport business right around the year 2000. And from there, it's just been, you know, like you said, we've gotten into trailers, crossbar systems, several types of kayak racks, canoe carriers, and starting to branch into some kayak carts as well. So we're really trying to encompass, you know, all the niches for getting you to A to B safely.
Okay. And and you guys are located in Maine. And so it's all just sprouted out of a family business. And what else was I going to say about that? I'm just checking my notes here. Lots of different online and retail stores carrying your products now.
That's right. You know, we've have close to 1,500 stores across the country in Canada, but you know, online has definitely been a pretty good marketplace for us as well. And in part to a lot of these forums too. I mean, a lot of people like to talk and ask questions about what rack might be the best for them, and kind of gets people geared up and helps them move in the right direction.
Okay. It says here also in there that you guys were the first to introduce the J style kayak carrier.
That's right. That was one of my father's first, I guess you could say, designs. From there, we just kind of used that template and kind of branched off and tried to offer a lot of different types of racks that kind of revolved around that idea. And one of those actually was like a universal mounting system that fits to square bars, round bars, and the factory installed oval bars, which really helped us, you know, universalize to the other companies out there for sure.
Cool. And just a little bit more background and stuff. I noticed on the other day, and I told Colin before we got started, we were chatting a bit before the show began, but in real life, I play a sustainability specialist, and I do all kinds of environmental compliance and stuff like that. And I saw that you guys, you have, it says here your products are 100% recyclable. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. It kind of stems from, you know, our customer service side. We try to offer the best customer service out there. And if that means taking an old product and putting the latest and greatest on the roads, then so be it. It just so happens that we work right down the street from Eco Maine, which is Southern Maine's, or one of Southern Maine's largest waste management and recycling centers. And pretty much all of our excess cardboard, paper, everything, and obviously including the racks as well, gets taken down to EcoMaine, and you know, then they use their tools and make sure it's handled properly. It's a really great system, as you,
cool.
I'm sure you're aware. Yeah,
that's important, and mm-hmm. and so we'll just go with that. Now let's get into talking about the racks and somebody mm-hmm. who's coming along. Say somebody gives you a call and says, "Hey, I'm not sure how I want to go with this." I mean, what's the first thing a person needs to do when they're thinking about transporting their kayak?
That's the best question. People call in all the time, and they think these are dumb questions, but they're really not, because obviously they invest in, you know, a nice kayak, and they want to make sure that they can get it back and forth safely. As far as trying to find the best rack for someone on top of their car or on their trailer, there's usually three things that I take into account. First is the type of kayak, whether it's, you know, a common wreck boat, a sea kayak, or a fishing kayak. Those are usually the ones that we're asked about the most. The second is the type of vehicle that they have, assuming that they're looking to put this on their vehicle and not on a trailer. And the third would be, and this is pretty honest, the customer's physical stature. And that really comes into play when, you know, trying to get the boat on top of their car. That's one of our biggest focuses, because if that deters the whole, if that deters someone from getting to the water, then they're not going to enjoy the sport. When it comes down to the type of kayaks, especially for kayak fishermen out there, a lot of these kayaks are wider, sometimes heavier, and we would probably look at putting that kayak into some sort of saddle system where the boat can be settled into its natural position. It's a little easier on the miles per gallon because the boat won't be acting like a sail in the wind while traveling down the road. Obviously, the type of vehicle for us, that means, the compatibility with our products to those cross rails found on the car. And lastly, kind of what I got into, but, we deal with all types of people out there, whether it's an 80-year-old man or, just a younger person trying to get that boat on top of their car. So we need to ask them, you know, what carrier might be a little easier for you to get the boat up and in there safely. So, and usually those are the three main things that help us, you know, when we're talking to someone, kind of diagnose what rack is definitely best for them.
Okay. And we had actually in the thread that was on yakangler.com, there was a picture of a guy, and he's got a little SUV, and he's got, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but the Hobie Pro Angler.
Oh, very familiar.
That's a huge boat.
To my knowledge, that is the biggest kayak on the market.
Yes,
I'm sure someone's going to come out and, that's the type of boat that I'm automatically going to recommend a trailer for sure.
Yeah. This guy had it up on the roof, and we were all kind of slack-jawed there going, wow, man, that's a hefty kayak to put up on your roof.
That's determination right there.
Yeah, it is. Now let me ask you. And when you're talking about putting it up on the roof, should I keep the kayak in its natural position upright, or should I turn it over, flip it over like I would a canoe?
See,
does it make a difference?
It really depends on kind of what rack you're going to go with. Our saddles are made so the kayak is actually in the natural position. But it is an easy solution to flip that kayak, especially the Pro Angler. Let's take that for example, because it is more or less, it's got a flat surface, and it could act like a canoe. But like what I said, our racks do carry these kayaks in their natural position.
Mm-hmm. I think it it's probably just on your choice of how you want to put it up there. I like
exactly.
I like putting it upright in its natural position, like it's sitting in the water, because I can leave my seat in there and I'll, you know, some of the gear in it, you know, so I don't have to strip everything off of it. But and then I've used a trailer. At what point do you, you know, now you said, you kind of said as far as like with the pro angler, you would just go ahead and suggest to someone to go with the trailer on that boat. But what are some of the other things you might consider when you recommend a trailer?
I would first take a look at how many boats you'd probably want to transport. The trailer comes standard with 65-inch bars or load bars. Mm-hmm. So if you looked at, you know, like four sets of J cradles on that bar length, you could easily transport four boats. Pretty nice for families, for sure. Obviously, if you have a lot of gear, like you mentioned, and you want to have accessibility to that, that's a nice aspect to having a trailer. I mean, there's several others as well. I mean, a lot of people do worry about, you know, the wind and obviously how much gas mileage that they're getting. And the trailer falls right in the line of the car, right in the slipstream there. And I've been told by a couple people who really monitor this that they get better gas mileage with a trailer rather than having two boats on top. So that's pretty interesting, for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of hidden back there, you know, kind of doing the NASCAR thing. So,
yeah, that's right.
And now we'll get a couple of folks making comments there in the chat room if you've been watching it. But Mitchell Dorsey there, Scott, is saying he usually hauls three. And I know when I got the extended bars, thanks for looking up those aluminum ones for me.
No
I put them on my trailer, and I've got three of the wing sets, and I got three kayaks now stretched across there. So it's
that's a perfect setup. Absolutely.
Yeah. But I'm going to have to put some of the J mounts on because I need to carry a couple more for this big trip we're doing. So, as far as strapping the kayaks down and stuff, I mean, recommendations there?
Well, all of our products come with directions, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just make sure you got enough strap. And, you know, some of our carriers actually have slots where the straps actually go into, and there's directions right in there how to tighten those down. You always want to try to engage the crossbar, which means bringing the strap under the crossbar before tightening. That's going to make sure that it's secure. It's not going to go anywhere. When the kayak is up on top of the car, we highly recommend using bow and stern tie-downs.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for longer trips, like the one that you guys are looking at in the next couple weeks. You know, I personally, when I'm going, because we live right here on the ocean, so if I'm just driving down to the beach, I might not use bound stern tie-downs, but when I hop on the interstate, I always do, without a doubt. It just guarantees that your boat won't hit anyone around you if that actually occurs. We have a really good record.
Yeah.
We haven't had any failures like that as a company, which I think we're pretty proud to say.
I did see one on another website. One of the things I do before I come on the show is I look around, and I saw a fellow who had put – it was actually on the native site. It wasn't the crossbars that had failed. It was the actual OEM, the manufacturer rack that was on the vehicle that came apart.
Yes.
And luckily he had a tie down on the, I guess the one on the front broke, but he was dragging the boat behind him with the one that he had on the stern. So, but the boat didn't get away from him. I think that's pretty good advice to tie it down bow and stern when you're going to go long distance. So
that's the safety net right there. You know, that guarantees that you're not going to hurt anyone else out there if that does indeed happen, which, I mean, I've been working here for several years now, and it's very rare. I've probably heard of maybe just not even a handful of times, two, three times where someone has a horror story like that.
Right.
That's why they call us up. They want a new rack.
Right.
A new way.
So, and Now you've changed some of the products, and actually you've got a really new product that's out now, and that's your loading system for rooftop.
Absolutely.
And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely, yeah. We have two main loading systems, or as we call them, load assists. That has been one of our main focuses the last couple years. Kind of like what I said, you don't want getting the kayak up on top of your car to be a deterrent from you actually getting out there on the water. A lot of folks are getting into this later in life because it's a pastime. So we have a product called the Telos Load Assist, which is a ratchet system where you place the kayak into the first of all, the Telos connects into a J-style carrier, one of three that we offer. And from there, on the side of your vehicle, you actually ratchet the kayak up and then basically push it into the saddle. Nice thing about these is that they pop right off, and if you have another set, you can go around to the other side and use it over there to load another kayak. The J-style carrier in general is probably the most common carrier found on the market. So having this Telos Load Assist really helps people, obviously get it up there for one, but also kind of empowers them to get to the water a little easier. And the second one works with one of our saddle systems. It's called the Stinger and the C-Wing. It's a rear loader, so you basically have about a 2-foot wing that slides back to the end of the vehicle. And from there, you can bring the bow of your boat up, and it engages the profile very nicely. And then you pick the stern up and simply slide it on up into the carriers. Of the two, I would say the C-Wing and Stinger might be more popular, just because I think that might be a little easier for people. It's got a felt pad that really keeps the friction down and really allows you to get it up into the saddles.
Cool.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, there's nothing like loading your kayak to about hip height right into the trailer.
Right.
Especially after a long day of paddling. Yep.
The only time that I've never regretted having the trailer, but is when you get to a site where, like, we fish down in Cedar Key, Florida, and it's pretty tight in there. And some of the places that we stay, they don't have a real deep parking area, so you have to unhook your trailer and kind of it takes up another parking spot next to you so you can get it in there. But that's the only time that the trailer has ever been an issue with me. For the most part, it's not a problem getting it in and out of places. So
exactly, too. And this is what I tell people. The nice thing about the trailer is kind of what you said. I mean, you can at least pop it off and wheel it around. It's not going to be a 500, 600-pound trailer or heavier. It only weighs 197 pounds without boats. And when you count the 8-foot tongue, you're really spreading that weight out. All trailers come with a lift handle on the coupler, which is a nice feature because then you can basically dolly it around whether you're in your driveway or at the beach. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, and the new ones, they have an option for the retractable tongue too, right? So it reduces the overall footprint when you're in storage and stuff.
Absolutely, and the nice thing about that too, Chip, is that they're retrofittable to all trailers, all Malone trailers out there.
I might have to get me one of those things. that's pretty sweet. The one thing that I kind of modded my trailer a little bit, and I haven't sent you pictures yet because I was just getting the new bars on it. But when you guys went with the new method there, you've got those kind of not really U-shape, but kind of spread U-shape bars, the crossbars hooked to, and they sit on top of. That's what initially the 2009 that I had, it was like the old bunk holders for a regular boat trailer that crossbars mounted on. And when I put the little trunk, the Plano box in there, you had to make sure that you remembered to load everything into that box before you put your kayaks on there.
Yep.
Because once you got your kayaks on, you couldn't get into the box anymore. But now I think with them raised up like you've got them now, I think that solves the issue. So, and that's all I did with mine was just raise them up a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the real reason we went from that basically vertical style load bar setup to what we have now is because we wanted to offer a longer bar or an upgraded 78-inch bar. And those vertical mounts just wasn't enough support for those.
Right.
But like you said, though, I mean, getting to that box, you know, we don't always plan ahead. And sometimes if you put your boats on there first and strap them down and realize you didn't put your PFDs or tackle boxes in there, it could be a could cost you a couple minutes.
Yeah. But, yeah, it works out fine now, and everything looks good. So,
yeah.
Well, we've been going at it for a little bit. Let's see if we've got any questions from the crowd there. I know.
Sure.
I've been seeing some folks putting some stuff in there. Chuck, Wheeler, Greg, anyone? Bill?
No, I'm just saving up my pennies, man. I want one of those trailers bad.
You want one of them bad, huh?
Yeah, man.
Those new Jackson kayaks will look good on one of those trailers?
Yeah, I've got a... I'm going to have a small fleet of those things here shortly. And... the Christmas tree stacking method in the back of the F-150 is not going to work.
Right. You've got the other... You've got. Go ahead, Colin.
Oh, I was just going to say, too, and, I mean, kind of going... was that Wheeler who just said that?
No, that was Chuck.
Oh, that was Chuck, sorry. Kind of going with what you were saying, that the trailer is kind of a lifestyle. You know, you're going down the road and you got your boats on a trailer. It's kind of... you're kind of spreading the look or the lifestyle rather than kind of putting them in the back of your truck there.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Well, that's what it's all about, man. I need to have the persona.
That's right.
Exactly.
That really knows what I'm doing. I think the trailer would finish that off.
And another one of the mods that I did was I don't know. Do the new crossbars still have the slot underneath them like the aluminum ones did?
Actually, they don't. We actually have a square bracket that attaches those load bars. But the nice part about that is, though, is that we have a Yakima adapter. So if you have Yakima bars sitting around, then you could just buy the round adapter and slide those right on there and use it as your load bars. So kind of a small, you know, we always try to make things a little more universal, and by going with that bracket kind of helped us out there.
Yeah, what I did, though, with the slot is you could take a carriage bolt, right, with the square head and slide it in there, and I made some brackets around 8-inch PVC pipe. So I have, they call them the torpedo tubes. You probably saw somebody say it in the chat room there, but... so I put all my rods into the torpedo tubes, and they hang underneath. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And I put locks on it and stuff. So, but and it's a good spot too for all the stickers, you know, and stuff that you can put.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that actually we had some pictures floating around the office a couple weeks ago of those torpedo tubes, and those were all kind of. And that's a great idea right there. We were all kind of like, "Hey, I wish we could sell that," and then we were thinking, "Wait. That's just PVC pipe."
That's all it is, yeah.
Someone's already got that market down, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that there's actually, I think in the other manufacturer, the Hobie brand there, they have a big long box that they have for putting stuff in. So I think some of them have the, they put the sails on and stuff like that. So, but let's see what we got. I got tons of questions about a trailer. So yeah, Russ is saying he gets all kinds of questions. He feels like one of your reps down there in Louisiana. So.
Hey, we appreciate it down there, Salt Warrior.
But yeah, so he was just sporting the pictures. He's got a pro angler, so he's got that in the center, and then he's got a couple of tarpons on either side of it. So.
Nice. It's a great setup.
He's ready to rock and roll. So, well, Colin, we really appreciate you coming on board tonight. Unless anybody else has got any questions. Wheeler, Mark, you got anything?
I just want one.
You just want one? Okay.
Yeah.
guys all
you know, because I'm in the same boat as Chuck. You know, I'm about ready to start my my Jackson Pirate Plastic Navy here, so, you know.
You're stacking them all in the back of that truck, right?
That Dakota only fits a couple of boats in it with, before I start getting a little gamey, so.
Yeah. Mr. Becker, you have anything? Greg?
No, the only thing I've, I would ask is, with a trailer that, generally speaking, is relatively short coupled, given the you know the proximity of the back of the truck and the or the back of the tow vehicle, and with a relatively short short tongue, from what I've seen from following a couple of the road, you've done a pretty good job of in the trail the trailer versus the tongue length, so it doesn't walk the way some of the other trailers I've seen. Any recommendations about or comments about how you do that or ways to keep it from doing that, balancing loads, things like that?
Well, when in doubt, try to keep your kayak. I mean, if you consider you have just one kayak, try to keep it obviously centered on the load bars. I think that's the number one. I mean, a lot of people have asked us why we don't have a two-tier for this trailer, and it really is because the wheel wells are. You don't want to get too top-heavy with this trailer or any trailer really. But kind of what you mentioned, though, I mean, the trailer has an 8-foot tongue. It tracks very nicely, but you can't. There is a limitation of how long a boat you can put on there. Not necessarily a worry for a kayaker or a kayak angler out there, but more for, like an 18 to 20-foot sea kayak. You know, if one of those is on the out at the end of one of the bars, then you could come pretty close, turning a tight corner for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bill, you got anything?
Nope.
All right.
Throw mine in the back of my truck and throw the rest of them up on the rack.
Yeah. Well, you're still a young man, so it's not hard
there
for you to do that.
Yeah, right.
All right. So, Colin, again, man, I appreciate it. And we're gonna let you off the hook here. And but we appreciate having you on. And come down and fish with us sometime.
Hey, if I'm in the neck of the woods, I'll definitely reach out. I appreciate this opportunity. Have a good night, guys. Yeah.
And the guys over at yakangler.com are real supportive, Mark and Adam there. And we'll always stop and talk to folks about the trailers that we pull our boats on for you.
That's awesome. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, man. Tight lines.
No problem. Thanks.
Have a good winter.
Likewise. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Well, that was pretty interesting. Mr. Colin there joining us and talking about the trailer. He's gone now. So... any other discussions, gentlemen? Anyone? Bueller? So cool. All right. Now, I was going to try and get a hold of Dave Elgus. So let me see if I can get him on my speakerphone here. You guys know who Dave is?
Nope.
No? He's from the Aqua Hunters in Hawaii. Right? So, what do you saw in there? Is that you, Wheeler?
That's my lab.
That's your lab. Oh, that's breathing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, hope to God that's a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was a real quick cover, though. That was awesome.
That was a real quick cover, yeah. That was a real quick one. All right. Let me see here. We'll go here and put it on speaker. Let's see if I can hear him. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Can you hear that okay?
Hi,
this is Chip Gibson. I'm calling for David Elgus.
Who?
David?
No, what's your name?
Chip. Chip Gibson.
Chip Gibson?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
I missed him, huh? Well, yeah, just tell him that Chip Gibson from Kayak Fishing Radio called to tell him aloha.
Okay. Does he have your number?
Let me give it to you.
Okay.
Okay, for the next 30 minutes, we'll probably be here at this number, 714-816-4727. But we'll be moving on probably in about 30 minutes. So, but I know he's getting ready to take a trip. So we just want to make sure he was totally pumped up for this trip to Christmas Island.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Oh, no problem.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I guess I should have told her she was on the radio, huh? All right. So, all right. Well, you know, we didn't get close to touching the record there for the people in the chat room, but Colin was real nice to come in, and I want to reiterate some of the points that we talked about earlier, and that is, for you guys that are taking the long trip for the first time with your kayaks, make sure that you tie those babies down. If your straps have been sitting out in the sun for the last couple of years or whatever, and they feel a little stiff and crackly and stuff, go buy you some new ones. They should be nice. don't use those old crackly ones, right? It's kind of like the old fan belt on your car. And make sure that if you put something up on the top of your car, that you tie the bow down and you tie the stern down. So, anyone else want to throw in some comments on transporting your kayaks?
If it feels weird, pull over and double check everything.
That's a good point there, Mark. I usually go for about 30 minutes. And then I'll get out and check all of my connections and everything and make sure everything's snug, you know, because everything kind of settles after about, you know, for a little bit. And then at every stop, I check everything.
Yeah, I'll because I turn mine upside down, it pushes more down more than if it was right side up. It kind of lifts the boat a little bit.
Right.
But, you know, those pool noodles or foam or anything, they'll kind of compress slowly throughout the day, you know, through time. And, you know, like, you just, you know, give them a quick snug. Oh, that reminds me. If you're using the, or any tie down for that matter, but specifically the ones where you just kind of pull on it and it tightens itself up, it's got that little thumb release thingamajigger on it, not a ratchet strap. When you tighten it down, take it and just do a half hitch right at the end of the, right at the clasp. So this way you have a knot there and then tie it down at the bar a couple times just to make sure that you're not losing any slack.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
A little bit.
Okay.
But the bow and stern tie downs, if they're up on the roof, is definitely a requirement, and make sure that they're, don't tie them to the plastic part of your grill, because that's not going to hold the boat if it gets airborne. Let's see.
I put four straps on each one of my boats.
Yeah, and then if you're coming from a real long ways and you're going to spend the night somewhere, I always loosen the straps up. I don't take them off, but I loosen them up because I know that when I was hauling my Cobra fishing dive, that sucker, man, if you had it turned over and you strap it down, even with just the hand-tight straps, it would put dents in the hull, and you'd have to set it out in the sun to get the dents out. But if it does, you know, it'll they'll come out. But I use ratchet straps now on all of mine. Let's see what else we got. Captain Mike says, check the hubs on your trailer. He did a complete hub change 2 weeks ago in his buddy trailer once they caught fire off I-95. Yeah, that's a bad deal. Because the fire will melt the kayak. And you'll stop and you'll have this big orange, green camouflage bubble on the back of your car, right? That would be nasty. Yeah. So I'm getting some insight in here. I was planning on doing it. I didn't think I wanted to put the ultimate straight up and down. Lozier brings up a good point too. Cable locks, bicycle locks, they go through the scupper holes and stuff, and that's a cool thing. How do you lock down your ultimate, Lozier? put it over one of the thwarts or something like that. Yeah, and I've got a real long, I think it's like 15 foot long cable lock. So I can put, for like the ocean kayaks and all those with scupper holes, I can run that cable all through the scupper holes, just kind of weave it through and then down. And then the wheels on my trailer, they're kind of spoke wheels, and I can run it through the spoke. But I'll tell you, don't jump up real early in the morning without having a cup of coffee before you try to drive off with that thing locked up like that. It will it'll drag that one tire for a while. So, Wheeler's like, I pay him to laugh. So, no, I don't have the tandem. Who's talking about? I don't have a tandem. I just have a single. So, all right. Well, we've been going for a while here. We're 2 weeks out. Next week, Bill. Next week, we're going to talk colors and lures and stuff like that, or
we can.
Okay, so we'll have a little bit. Be a little bit closer to it. I got some sick plastics today from. Canyon Plastics, Canyon City Plastics. They're called Gitsits. It's like a 6-inch tube. And the little legs or whatever, the little, they're just all kinds of light and stringy. And you throw them in the water and they're all floaty and stuff. I have a pool so I can play with them. They look really cool. And they're that nice... chicken on a chain color, you know, with the red glitter in them and stuff like that. So I've got a couple with the yellow paddle I got the chartreuse tails on them and stuff. So looking forward to seeing that. But we'll talk colors next week. And another thing that I wanted to bring up was Greg, Mr. Becker, and I were invited to, after fishing at Cedar Key, we both realized that we had the same seat, the squoosh seats. Root beer color was great in the morning, gold worked in the afternoon. Okay, from Jim Van Pelt. We had the both had the same squoosh seat. Now, Greg got on the horn and wrote a letter. Isn't that right, Mr. Becker? You contacted the folks at Squoosh?
Yeah, I too have a mute button issue apparently. Yeah, I did. I had been in contact with them about that seat and about some sponsorship things for a local fishing tournament here.
Right.
And had one of their seats, and after sitting in it for a while, sent them a note and said, "Listen, you know, you asked me for my input and my insight on the seat. Promised I'd give it to you whether it was good or bad. It's not good." And I had some real issues with pressure points and sitting in the seat and having to shift constantly to do some pressure and stuff like that.
I think you got loose connection, man.
Well, I got lots of loose connections, but I don't know what it was.
He's breaking up.
He's breaking up, Captain.
Yeah.
But I mentioned it to you and found out you were having the same problem with the same seat.
Right.
So we said to ourselves, this is obviously something that we need to let them know about. So,
and the folks at Squoosh were very responsive and said that they had a new seat coming out, and they sent us each one. And I think Nate is their customer service or marketing guy. He's probably listening in. He's one of those guests that's in the chat room. He said he'd be listening in tonight. I don't see him logged in, but so they sent us each one of these new seats. They're called the Big Catch, right?
Yes, they are.
And they've made some changes to it, and so Greg has been field testing his model, and I've taken mine out for a paddle in between the storms last weekend, and it's a better seat. The gel seat, it's got a real high back on it. The back is the has now gone from a 19 inch to 20 inches tall on the back, and there's some really good supports on it. I don't know, Bill, did you try the seat?
No,
I didn't let him anywhere near my seat.
Oh, you didn't let
he
me.
He doesn't let me anywhere near his kayak.
Yeah.
Oh, I said I don't let him near my seat.
Just load it in the back of my truck.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. On the top.
Load it and to unload it, and that's the only time I get to touch it. And most of the time, he doesn't even let me look at it.
Right. Yes, he blindfolds you while you load it.
No, I just have to look away.
Oh,
look
okay.
At the ground and. You know.
All right. So
that's to keep the envy to a minimum. But anyway, yeah, you're right. And the battens in the tall seat back, and the changes they've made to the seat cushion itself, for me, make a huge difference in the comfort of the seat.
Mm-hmm.
Quite rubberized, full of Barco leather. It's different than the native style seats or the Jackson seats, which are really little chairs that you're sitting in.
Right.
But it is the most comfortable seat that I've paddled in different incarnations. And in the last two weekends that I've been out in it, I've been sit for extended period of time, for an hour in a single position without having to worry about pressure point issues or anything else, and not having to, shift around or push yourself up and readjust. One of the cool things that they've added, and I've never seen it in a kayak seat before, is a lumbar support.
Mm-hmm.
And I was initially a little bit skeptical. It looked too big. It looked too low. Looked too high. Depending on how you looked at it, I really didn't know how well it would work. But now that I've got it, I think I would I'd be very happy, unhappy rather, without it. So it's a good addition.
So we've got these seats, and Lozier's in there. Yeah, you got an ultimate now. But you heard him. Those are little chairs, Mark. They're little chairs. Yakosaurus, we are talking about a new seat from Skwoosh, SKWOOSH. They do seats of all kinds for motorcycles and stuff. I know folks that have them on their Harleys, but it's the Skwoosh Big Catch, yeah. And we'll have those with us down in Chokoloskee. So folks that are interested in trying them out, if you're not one of those CUDA heads, followed by the CUDA commander there, Chuck.
Let me just say this real fast, Chip.
Yeah.
The Jackson kayak seats are little chairs of awesomeness. And actually, my kids, that's what they're sitting in right now watching TV, is my CUDA and CUDA.
In your CUDA yeah. seat. All right.
Yep.
But yeah, so we've got those seats, and look for a review. Greg being the primary author there and editor at yakangler.com will be putting that out. So we'll have him down, and Nate and a friend of his are going to join us down at Chokoloskee. So they're looking forward to it. I was under the impression that Nate had not done too much. He's a fisherman, but he's not done too much kayak fishing. So I look forward to introducing him to the sport and showing him what we think about the seat and some ideas that we have with it. And they'll be looking for your ideas too, if you're down there. So, okay. Tell us about the ladyfish, Greg.
Oh, all right. Well, that in the, paddlefishing.com, paddlefishing tournament series, event last weekend was fishing to the section of the flats where we knew there were a bunch of ladyfish, but also a bunch of big trout. And I was throwing a Miradine or a Miradine. I think that should be a survey on Yak Angler, how people, pronounce that. But throwing one and hooked a couple decent trout, hooked a couple smaller ladyfish. And then the ladyfish just flipping out. For the first couple of times, I thought juvenile tarpon. Took a few minutes to get in, a bunch of good jumps, real good fight. And, as ladyfish tend to do, this one was defecating and bleeding all over the place, but I threw it up on the board just to take a quick look because I thought it was pretty big, and it was 32 inches, and I started to slide it off the board back into the water, just to get it cleaned up and stop making a mess. And as it started to clean up and slide off, I said, maybe I should take a pic-
oh well, I was back in the water. Never took a picture of it or did any other measurements. And it turns out I should have, because there's a pretty good chance that it might have it certainly would have been the Florida all-tackle record, and it might have even qualified as the IGFA all-tackle world record for ladyfish. It was a big, big, fat, heavy ladyfish. But I know where it lives. I know where they are. It's a great spot to go back to. But I wasn't in ladyfish record mode. I was in finding your trouts. They wouldn't find a fish, a snook, or a flounder to save our lives.
Right.
So we were looking for the big trout category. But it was a pretty entertaining. You know, you understand, we call them poor man's tarpon.
Right.
And I'm definitely going to take Junior fly reel out there and hook him up, maybe even with it for his first saltwater trip with the fly rod, take him out there and put him on the ladyfish to just have, I think that'll be a definite smile generating moment to be out there.
Oh, they jump and go crazy and nuts and everything. They are like little bitty skinny tarpon. So Spike, you made it right before we're getting ready to hang up, man.
Hey, this is David Elgis calling in from Hawaii.
Oh, Dave! Dang, man.
Yeah, man.
Oh, aloha, hey, bro.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Tell us about your trip, man. We're going to stay in for a little bit longer now because we got you on the line. Folks, it's David Elgis from Hawaii, getting ready to go on the first trip to Christmas Island.
Yeah, the very first kayak fishing trip ever out there. They didn't have kayaks out there, so it was quite a process for us to get the kayak ship down there.
And so what are you looking forward to, man?
Well, I can't wait to get out of here. We're leaving on Tuesday. And we should be getting in there, and the time change will be Wednesday next week. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to catching a lot of big trevally.
Yeah. Dude,
they got
you're
a lot
be
of
able
100
to...
pound giant trevallies out that way.
That sounds sick, man. Hey, you guys are kicking off your tournament here too, right?
Yeah, the statewide Makahiki, the Aqua Hunters Makahiki, started on February 1st, and that one goes all the way till September 30th. And it's our progressive. We have 40 days to fish that tournament.
And you guys are pulling in some monsters out there too. The GTs are awesome. We see the pictures and stuff, man.
Yeah, this year already some of the guys warming up. I don't know if you saw it on Facebook. They were out there practicing just before the Makahiki, and they ended up with two striped marlins, our first striped marlins caught in a kayak in Hawaii. So that set a new world record out here. We're pretty excited about that.
That's awesome. So let's go back to Christmas Island for a bit. How did you manage to work that out, man? Was there permitting or something that you guys had to do?
Well, yeah, I had to work with the local lodge and the local government of Kiribati. They have a tourism office down there that supports the goals of the business that we had in mind. They're really eco-friendly. They want to enhance their fishing projects on the island. So it fell right in hand with what the government was trying to do. And so we finally found the right local lodge to work with. And then we signed a 6-year contract to pull kayak fishing tours at Christmas Island.
And so you're like, you get a charter over there, you go over by boat. How far is the trip?
The plane ride is from Honolulu, and it's serviced by Air Pacific. They have a weekly flight from Air Pacific here that goes from Honolulu, Christmas Island to Fiji. And so you can access Christmas Island if you're from Australia, from New Zealand, and you can access Christmas Island from this side via Honolulu. And it's a 3-hour flight from Honolulu.
Cool. And what about the boats?
A lot of guys are, what we find is guys are wanting to use their frequent flyer miles to get to Hawaii, and then it costs about $1,000 from here a round trip to get to Christmas Island.
Okay. What do you do for kayaks, man? How are you working that out?
The kayaks we got down there, it was pretty awesome. Ocean kayaks, they gave us a couple Trident 13s to try out down there. And also the new company, Diablo Water Sports, Paddle Sports, gave us two new Adioses to try, the Supyaks for the lagoon. So looking forward to trying that new product. It looks like a perfect kayak for the lagoon there because you can stand up sight fish on it.
Right, right. Yeah, we're kind of familiar with the Adios and the Chupacabra, so yeah, those are pretty. Those are cool boats, man.
And also, we'll have a Hobie down there, a Hobie Adventure, that's going to be rigged with a small sail kit and the Amas and Akas and the Sidekick. So there'll be some light duty sailing going down there too.
Cool. And how many folks you got going on this first trip?
On the first trip, it's just a media trip. It's going to be Alan Sensano and myself for the kayakers. And then we have Stephen Wetzel is our photographer, and Michael Bihar is our writer. And we got a 13 million reader story coming in Hemisphere Magazine about our first trip.
That sounds sweet, man.
So that, I'm not sure, but that might possibly be one of the largest kayak fishing stories ever written.
Oh, yeah. And some, you can't see it, but in the chat room we've got going here, there's a question about, is this the Christmas Island off of Jakarta?
No, this is the one south of Hawaii, 1,200 miles south of Hawaii in the nation of Kiribati. There's another one people get confused of that's Christmas Island by Australia.
Oh, okay.
And that's not the one.
So this is south of...
Chip, it's the place where they blew up all the nukes in the 60s.
Say what, Bill?
So that's the place where they blew up all the nukes in the 60s.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's right. That's correct. They pretty much, the British and the U.S. dropped a bunch of the very first nuclear bombs back there in the day.
Yep.
And, you know, they gave the country back to, finally Britain gave the country back to Kiribati, the nation that it's from. And so, yeah, we're actually taking Geiger counters to measure the radiation because they've said that the radiation is totally, completely cleared out, but we're going to be double-checking that ourselves.
To check it out, yeah.
I was going to say, when he said it's a 3-hour trip from Honolulu, I was like, well, that can't be the same one I was looking at. It's got to be a different one.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, that's the place where guys have, for years, gone fly fishing on the incredible flats there. It's the largest coral lagoon in the world. There's 120 square miles of lagoon area that is like pristine, perfect kayaking areas. Loaded with milkfish, ladyfish, giant trevally, barracuda. We've heard that there's 100-pound Alua inside of the lagoon area now.
Ooh.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. And offshore, they've got the tuna, mahi, ono, and a lot of sailfish. So I'm really actually hoping for my first sailfish strike on this trip.
That's sweet, man. And you want to give a shout-out to your sponsors or anything like that?
Oh, most definitely. Give a shout out to Windward Boats here in Honolulu. They're an awesome company. They've been supporting the whole growth of kayak fishing since day one out here when we started getting rolling. And of course, to Hobie for my Hobie kayaks. They're great. And I picked up a new sponsor I'm really excited to work with this year, Yak Attack. They've got some great GoPro mounting options for my kayak. I'm really excited. We'll be running those at Christmas Island this year. If you haven't checked them out, Yak Attack, they're pretty cool.
Yeah, we had Luther on the show Tuesday night, so.
All right. So, yeah man, we're excited. We'll be the first. It's hard to say in this day and era to be the first to do something, and so that's good. It's pretty exciting to be the first ever to kayak fish there, and hopefully many more good trips on the way after that.
Well, that's awesome, man, and we look forward to hearing about the trip, man, and you guys are going to post some pictures daily, right, while you're out there of your catches and stuff?
Yeah, we'll probably be doing some Facebook stuff because the internet connection down there is a little bit slow, but when we get back, we'll be releasing a lot of stuff and doing a lot of press stuff, so I'll get in touch with you guys when we get back and maybe try to get some stuff up on your blog site there.
Yeah, that sounds cool. We'll stick it up on Yak Angler and on our page. It'll feed all into us, so that'll be great, man.
Great. Cool. Well, thanks for having me on the show tonight, Jim.
Hey, David, don't be a stranger, man. Stay in touch.
All right.
And,
I didn't realize it was East Coast, so when I was thinking I had a few more hours when you called earlier, so now I know the program. I'll get with you guys more often.
Actually, we've got a West Coast show, so we'll maybe hook you up there. That's who I thought it was calling in when I saw your 805 area code. So,
is that Alan Bushnell, or is that that's Spike runs that?
Yeah, Dennis Spike. Yeah, he runs the West Coast show, and they're gonna change their time here at the end of the month to be more on the on y'all's daylight hours. So,
sounds great. Well, all right, right on, Chip, and have a good night and tight lines, bro.
Yeah, tight lines, man. Stay in touch. Aloha.
All right. Aloha. Bye.
I'm stoked, man. Who wants to go to Christmas
Island? I want to go. I'm looking at it right now, Chip, and it reminds me of, like, Wake Island.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's a whole lot bigger.
Yeah, just a whole lot bigger. Because, I mean, you couldn't throw a stone across the lagoon at Wake, but you could. It's not 120 miles across. That's a big lagoon.
The island is almost straight due south of the Big Island.
It must not be far off the equator.
I wouldn't think so, but yeah, this is the same one that they blew up all the nukes.
Oh, yeah, that is. That's Christmas Island, man. That's the atoll where they put them out, man. So,
I'm trying to find the runway, though. It doesn't show up.
Yeah.
Getting there. Unless it's just some dirt trip.
Yeah. All right, well, that's awesome. Chuck saying Boondoggle Christmas Island. I'm cool with that.
I'll be down with that.
Yeah. I know Scuba Stan has said he's got some hookups over in the Bahamas and stuff. So maybe we can boondoggle over there. Let's see. All right.
Boondoggle
well,
International.
Yeah, Boondoggle International. Those guys over there were really cool, man. When we did the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards, David got in touch with me and stuff, and those dudes have really got some fishing going on over there, you know. So, And they're very cool. They would fit right in with our boondoggle crew. And they catch some monster fish, man. Those Alua and stuff, and the GTs are just crazy. Well, hey, it's I need all the beauty sleep I can get, and it's a good thing I have a face for radio. But we've been going for an hour here, been a big show. Appreciate everybody showing up, Mr. Wheeler. Wednesday nights, Chuck on Mondays,
yes, sir.
And Chuck's got another guest. We're lining them up now. Chuck, tell us about your guest for Monday night.
Monday night I have Dr. Aaron Adams, who is from the Bonefish Tarpon Trust, also an author of many, many fly fishing books, and one of the head researchers down at the Moat Research Institute down there in South Florida. So it should be a really, really good show. I'm super excited about it. I've been a fan of this guy for a long time, and everything that those guys have going on down there. So,
yeah, and if you're listening to the podcast or you're in the chat room there and you're not sure what we're talking about, the Moat Laboratories and Aaron Adams, they're the folks that put on the Buccaneers and Bonefish show there on either Versus or NBC, whatever it is, the sports channel now. But that's one of my favorites, man, with those guys, Tom Brokaw and them out there chasing bonefish around. But the tarpon and bonefish show, it's awesome. So, all right, so we look forward to that. Wheeler, what are you talking about next week?
Next week, we're talking, last couple of things about the boondoggle. I'm actually heading to Tennessee to work the National Wild Turkey Federation, a booth out there. So, talk about that and, just generalized stuff, trying to get off the boondoggle a little bit. I know we've been pounding people on it. So this way, something different. Talk about maybe some turkey hunting and how you can use your kayak to help you turkey hunt. So,
okay. That sounds cool. Mr. Becker, thank you for joining us tonight.
And we look forward. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got a loose connection there or something. You're rattling.
Nah, there's no loose connection. I think it's Google. This Google dial-in might not have the bandwidth that I was looking for. So I'll revert to Skype next time.
Okay. Heywood, next week, talk about some colors and stuff?
Sure.
All right, man. And I'm going to call River Palm tomorrow, so I'm into I'm number five, man.
That was I'm going to sit down this weekend and look at my tournament schedule. I'm going to try to do both Jacksonville and that one this year.
So
I've got to look and see how that's all going to play out.
All right. I'll let you know what I have when I come up with.
The DOA tournament?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can come down and fish it?
Yeah, I'm already signed up. I'm number five on the list.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, look at me.
All right, I'll take your money too.
Dude, it's been won by women for the last 2 years. Jean McElroy run it. Yeah, won it last year.
I have been known to wear a dress.
Okay, fish like a girl. I can't wait to hear what happened with the Ultimate Crew and D and them today too. So I'm looking forward to hearing a report from them. So maybe they'll show up with the Losers, and let us know what happened on that one. So y'all tune in next time, Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock Eastern. Tomorrow night we've got Spike and Isaac the Nothing Miller for Fishing the Wild West, and appreciate everybody showing up. We'll see you next week, and until then, tight lines, take a kid fishing. I'm a dot. Good night.